Well, we went through those readings this morning just so we could notice that a key feature of the story of the birth of Jesus is the fulfillment of prophecy. Clearly, it was important to Matthew, whose gospel we've been reading this morning, that Jesus fulfilled prophecies. In fact, 12 times in Matthew's gospel, there's a statement, something like this. This happened so that the words of such and such a prophet would be fulfilled. I wonder why he's drawing our attention to these things. Surely it's so that we can have confidence as we read his gospel as followers of Jesus today. Of course, I realise for a lot of Aussies, fulfillment of prophecy might not sound like a compelling reason to become a Christian. Maybe some of us have had bad experiences with fake predictions. Earlier on in the week, I caught a train and there were a couple of girls in the carriage having a laugh and a loud conversation about horoscopes and how the predictions in them are so vague that they could just about apply to anyone at any time. But I'd like you to notice, as you think about those prophecies that we read this morning, that they're actually quite specific. The prophet said, let's go back one. The prophet said that the Saviour will come from a specific family. Abraham's, David's, one family. That cuts out a whole lot of people in the world. And that there will be a specific and extraordinary kind of birth, as he's born from a virgin. That there will be a specific place of birth. It's really specific. In Micah, it had that funny word, Bethlehem Ephrathah. That's because actually in that country there are two different villages called Bethlehem. And so the prophet's just being really specific about which one of the two Bethlehems the Saviour will be born in. There's a specific way in which the nations will recognise him with gifts. Still, I think many people have a suspicion that maybe it's just a bit of a coincidence. Like in that movie, remember the old movie, The Life of Brian, where some guy accidentally fulfills a couple of prophecies and then everyone gets carried away and thinks that he's the Messiah? But I want to say that there are too many specific things for this just to be an accident, just to be a coincidence. Back in the 1950s, there was a professor of mathematics and astronomy who was lecturing at a university, and he decided to do a project with his math students. He said, I'm going to give you 8 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in his lifetime, and I want you to figure out the mathematical probability of Jesus fulfilling those 8 prophecies completely randomly. Now realise that there's more than 40 prophecies in all the Gospels that Jesus fulfilled. But he said, look, let's do calculations based on 8 of them. You know, like it's pretty hard to do calculate, like what's the probability of someone being born of a virgin? That's just not probable, is it? But let's just pick 8 of them that we can mathematically calculate. And the result that the students came up with, and as a class they all agreed on, is that the probability of those 8 prophecies being fulfilled completely by accident is 1 in 10 to the power of 17. Now, what does that mean? Well, I did a bit of maths of my own to try and figure out what that means. What it means is it's the same as if I got enough $1 coins to cover the entire state of Victoria and I stacked them flat and I stacked them to a height of 78 centimetres. That's a lot of $1 coins. And once I did that, if I took one coin and I put a mark on it. And then I threw it back into the pile, and somehow I shuffle, I'd have to get a bulldozer or something to shuffle around all of Victoria, all of these coins. And then I got in a plane and I parachuted into a random spot and put a blindfold on and picked up a random coin. And if it just happened to be that same coin that had the mark on it, that's what 1 in 10 to the 17 is. And so it cannot be an accident. In fact, if we read the Bible, we know that it wasn't an accident that that Jesus fulfilled prophecies. In fact, in his lifetime, there were a number of prophecies that he fulfilled on purpose. For example, remember at the end of his life when he went and arranged for a donkey so he could ride into Jerusalem on a donkey? He knew exactly what he was doing. He was fulfilling prophecy on purpose. But here's where the Christmas story is helpful for us. Because, okay, some of the prophecies he could fulfill on purpose, but did anyone here choose the place of your birth? Did anyone choose your family? Did anyone choose what gifts would be given to you when you were a tiny baby? Now, these things that we've read about this morning are things that you can't rig. And so, as a very simple take-home message for today, I'd just like you to think about the kindness of God in the birth of Jesus, the kindness of God to you. Because did you notice so many of these prophecies were actually about people with doubts and fears and worries and troubles? And God knows that being a Christian can be costly. He knows that we have our times of doubt, and he knows that those doubts can get stirred up sometimes when we go through troubles and we think, hang on a minute, why isn't God helping me? Is he really there? Is this real? Sometimes it's in the temptations we face and we just think, well, if Jesus was just out, if I could just convince myself that Jesus was out of the picture, then I would be able to relax my moral code. God knows our weakness and our doubts. He knows that there are times when we feel like giving up. And God could have sent us his son without any of these prophecies beforehand, couldn't he? He could have just sent his son to appear on earth and say, come on guys, trust me. He could have done that without giving us any reason to believe him. But he didn't do it that way. The life of Jesus is full of things intended to give us confidence that we can entrust our lives to him. No doubt that the biggest reason for faith is the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. That's what was at the center of the early Christians' preaching. That's what that first generation of Christians were willing to give up their lives for, saying, we saw it, it happened, he's alive. But as well as the resurrection, we have a long trail of other reasons to have confidence in Jesus and to rely on Jesus, reasons that go back even before Jesus was born. And so this morning, this Christmas, as we remember and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, let the birth of Jesus give you confidence. Keep going. Keep trusting him. Keep loving for his sake. You can be confident that Jesus is who he says he is. And you can be confident that one day he will return and he will complete all of those things which are still promised, that we're still looking forward to. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the words of that that man who met Jesus, we believe, help us overcome our unbelief. Please give us a deeper confidence in Jesus this Christmas. Please, in believing, give us life in his name, life to the full. Please give us the courage to obey no matter what the cost, and to continue loving our brothers and sisters with joy in Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.